Thank you for joining the Zen Care podcast. These recorded Dharma talks are given freely to our community in the heart of New York City, which we are honored to now share with you. New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care is dedicated to transforming the nature of care through contemplative practice by meeting illness, aging, and death with compassion and wisdom. Learn more about us through zencare.org.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kashi.
Our little band of Easter Day. Maybe everyone else is on Easter egg hunts. You never know. I love Easter because it's also this time that it's also the time of Passover. And a week ago was the celebration of the cherry blossoms. So all over the world, this time has celebrations of renewal. And in the Christian tradition, there's the beginning of the season of Easter, which lasts another 40 days. And thinking about a season to actually of change. And can we allow ourselves to actually celebrate that change where transformation can always happen? But it's up to us to participate, and how we participate completely matters. Do we do the same old, or do something new? The beauty of this practice is that we always can begin again, moment by moment. At least in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end of practice. The same instruction. So today I wanted to talk about a koan from the Book of Equanimity, called Rinzai's Blind Donkey. Attention, when Rinzai was about to pass away, he charged Sancho, "After I depart, do not let my true Dharma eye be extinguished." Sancho said, "How could I let your true Dharma eye be extinguished?" Rinzai countered, "If someone suddenly asks you about it, how would you reply?" Sancho gave a shout, and Rinzai remarked, "Who would have thought that my true Dharma eye would be extinguished on reaching this blind donkey?" So Master Rinzai is one of our lineage people here. In China, his name was Lin Ji. And since Maizumi Roshi, the founder of our school in America, was also empowered in both the Rinzai and Soto school, we appreciate this Rinzai. He was born into a family named Xing, and he left at a young age, thought to be around 8, to study Buddhism. Imagine that. Imagine feeling at 8 this kind of movement to leave home and study. A different kind of person. Also, according to his records about him, he was trained by a teacher named Huang Bo. So he went to, as a very young boy, to his teacher and asked him the standard opening Zen question, which is, what's the real meaning of Bodhidharma coming from the West? Huang Bo didn't say anything. There was no response. And then hit him with a stick. Rinzai scurried away and was so perplexed, like, what the hell is this about? And he related the story to another person who was practicing there, who encouraged him to keep practicing and keep meeting with his teacher, which he did twice. But each time he felt like he received a very harsh reception. He was so reactive and demoralized that he announced that he was leaving. That's so easy, right? The easy path. I don't like it. I'm getting out of here. I'm not comfortable. He decided to seek enlightenment elsewhere. The head monk related this to the teacher. And his teacher said, well, he still has significant potential. So when Rinzai came to his teacher to say goodbye, his teacher sympathetically directed him to one of his Dharma brothers at a nearby mountain. And when Rinzai arrived at the second monastery, he related his terrible treatment that he received from his past teacher. And his new teacher listened patiently. And after he told every detail of all the terrible things his teacher had done to him, Dayu, his new teacher, said, wow, he treated you with such compassion. He merely just wanted to see your unconditioned nature. At this, he was quite surprised and shook. And he realized in that moment that his old teacher, Wang Bo, was transmitting a wordless insight to him. The understanding that Zen ties not into words, but rather the realization through our experience and steadfast practice. It was suddenly so obvious that Rinzai couldn't contain his joy. That he said, so, Wang Bo's Buddhism is actually very simple. There's nothing to it at all. His new teacher said, you scamp. A minute ago, you complained that Wang Bo's teaching was impossible and he was so awful to you. And now you say there's nothing to it. What is it that you've realized? Speak. Instead of speaking, Rinzai pummeled his new teacher with his fists, 3 times. And the teacher discharged him and kicked him out. He said, and as he was heading out through the monastery gates, he said, your teacher was never me, your teacher is Wang Bo. Therefore, you do not concern. So then he went back to his old teacher. who greeted him and was puzzled at his quick return. He said, "Haven't you come back a bit too soon? You only just left 3 days ago." In response, Rinzai just bowed. "It's because you've actually been so kind to me that I came back so quickly." And he related the story of his experience with the other teacher. And Wangbo said, "What a big mouth that old man has. The next time I see him, I'm going to give him a taste of my staff." And Rinzai yelled, "Why wait? I'll give it to you now." And slapped his teacher's face. Wangbo, startled, said, "This crazy monk is plucking the tiger's whiskers." Whereupon Rinzai emitted the first of what would be a lifetime of shouts. And his teacher was satisfied and said, "Take this crazy monk to the assembly hall." "So what's all this about?" "Who is this guy? What's all this like smacking and shouting?" But this practice is so much about the intimacy without trying to understand it. If you try to understand this practice, you'll never understand it. If you try to understand your life, you'll never understand it. But because there's only right now. And while the smacking and shouting is trying to cut through how we're off in our dream most of the time, we're not actually experiencing that there's only now. So the practice is constantly pointing to right now. But if you're like these folks, there's this temptation to drift off into our ideas, into our thoughts, into our worries and fears. Maybe you've had that experience. It is said, you know, in the Zen tradition, the first instance of Dharma transmission was when Shakyamuni passed the true Dharma eye to Mahakashapa. And the scene was, you know, of course, that there was thousands of people there to hear the talk. And Mahakashapa was there, and the Buddha was just sitting there twirling a flower. And Mahakashapa smiled. And the Buddha smiled at him and transmitted the Dharma. I love that image because I always picture everyone else at this gathering, thousands of people like getting ready to hear a talk or just kind of lost, not even really listening or experiencing where they are. Off in some kind of dream. The true Dharma eye is reality as it is. But the second you start thinking about it, it's something else. So it's not something you can think about. in this sense, the true Dharma eye is not born and doesn't die, and therefore can't be extinguished. Our moment by moment reality is what we're going for. The liberation that this practice is pointing to is that. Actually completely being here. Yasutana Roshi, who is one of Maizumi's teachers, says that the true Dharma eye sees absolute equality and absolute difference all the time. Equality. Equality and difference, inequality and no difference at the same time. You're different from me, and there's absolutely no difference between you and I. You know, Rinzai died quite young, almost the same age as Dogen, at 53. But his school continues to thrive to this day, almost 1,000 years later. So from one sense, you could say that his Dharma eye has not been extinguished. In this koan, you might think that Rinzai is actually criticizing his student by calling him a blind ass. Anyone here want to be called a blind ass? But in fact, this is very common in Zen circles that this would actually is high praise. Here in this koan, the blindness is also pointing to where in the Heart Sutra that we chant is the state of no eye. No eye, no ear, no tongue, no body, no mind. No separation. Oneness with all things. To being a blind donkey. What would that be like? Smelling and hearing. Tasting and feeling. What would it be like to not be deceived by your delusions of separateness? Your delusions of your special problems? Being deceived by your own reactivity as the truth? The blind donkey is a liberated person who really takes on beginner's mind. That freshness of returning again and again. Rinzai also left this poem that now has kind of become part of our culture a little bit. If you meet a Buddha on the road, kill him. If you meet the ancestors of the Arhats on your way, kill them too. Bodhidharma was just an old bearded barbarian. Nirvana and enlightenment are dead stumps to tie your donkey to. The sacred teachings are only lists of ghosts. Sheets of paper fit for wiping the pus from your boils. He was very subtle. I love this poem. If you meet the Buddha on the road, kill him. If you meet the patriarchs or the ancestors on your way, kill them too. Bodhidharma was just an old bearded barbarian. Nirvana and enlightenment are dead stumps to tie your donkey to. The sacred teachings are only lists of ghosts, sheets of paper, fit for wiping the pus from your boils. So what is he pointing to? What would it be like to not seek anything outside? Not even ideas of Buddha, of ancestors. The first ancestor of Zen, Bodhidharma. The confusing ideas of Nirvana and enlightenment that become like poison when we see them outside of ourself and outside of our moment-to-moment experience. To me, the only way that the practice comes alive is by being that blind donkey. Being willing to be that kind of creature. A bit foolish. A bit impaired, as we are. It's actually just how it is. And allowing that with great tenderness and compassion.